Well, can you imagine the setting for today's gospel? There's a nice scene of that. In the reading it said Lake Gennesaret, but it's actually also called the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. Sea of Galilee is a usual sort of name for it, isn't it? The setting all sounds rather lovely, doesn't it? Jesus teaching people down by the lake with crowds of people gathering round to listen to him, having come from far and wide to hear his teaching and and to be healed. And it must surely have been sunny. Looks sunny there, doesn't it? Now, who's been to the Holy Land here? Yeah, quite a few of us. Was it sunny when you went to the Sea of Galilee? Yeah? It was when I went, yes. I mean, I have this image in my mind that it's always sunny when they were fishing out on the lake. But that's sort of where they were. And as the crowd gets bigger, Jesus realizes that the people will hear better if he gets out on the water. You know how our voices carry across the water? You know, sometimes you can be, somewhere like the Lake District, somebody can sort of shout from one side of a lake to the other, and you can actually hear voices carry, the sound sort of ricochets across the water. I think Jesus was doing that. He got into this boat and they moved across into the water a little bit so that everybody could hear. And he climbed into Simon Peter's boat. Things are going really well. Jesus has quite a following now, and now it's time for him to gather some disciples together. If you read the earlier parts of Luke's gospel, you'll find that Jesus already knows Simon Peter. Does anybody remember how he knows him? He was staying in his house. Do you remember anything about what he did? He healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law, didn't he? So she was ill and she wasn't able to cook tea for them, so he healed her and then she was able to get up and serve them some food. Yeah, just get your priorities right. So he did. He already knew Simon Peter. He was staying. Yeah, Paul thinks that's, it is funny, isn't it? Yeah. So he healed him and he was staying in his house. So they did know each other, but today something happens which deepens their relationship. It's a turning point. It's a time when Peter is confronted with who he is and with who Jesus is. So they went fishing. I wonder if Jesus thought, that's enough of teaching, enough of my words. Now it's time for some practical action, a sermon illustration. Or maybe he just felt like getting away from all the crowds and doing something physical. But it wasn't the usual time of day to go fishing. They normally went out at night. But there must have been something about Jesus' instruction, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch, that struck Simon Peter. He sensed that there would be a different outcome to his abortive fishing trip of the night before. So he did, as Jesus asked. I was reading about this week, and apparently these nets, the particular word used to describe these nets that they used, they were made of linen. And linen is visible by fish during the day, so they have to use them at night. They also have to wash them off in the morning, which is why the disciples were washing the nets on the beach in the morning. So they have to be used at night. So not only had Simon Peter and his friends not caught anything all night, they were going to let down nets that you normally use at night. But anyway, he thought, this man seems to be onto something here. Let's do as he says. And there might be a different outcome to last night. And there was indeed a different outcome. It was a totally unexpected, huge catch of fish. So many that even with his friends coming to help, both boats were full to capacity. And that's when Simon Peter realized that Jesus was no ordinary teacher and healer. It really was a miraculous catch of fish. What do you think Simon and his brother Andrew and James and John were thinking? Do you think they were thinking, what does he know about fishermen? We've been doing this all our lives. We are professional fishermen. We know our stuff. We know this water. We know what sort of catch is normally to be expected. What does he know? They might have been thinking that, but they did do what he said. They knew what catch would be expected, but this, what came in this day, was something else. It was really significant. And this then was a time when Simon Peter was confronted with who he was and who Jesus was. Do you remember what Simon Peter said? His response went to this huge catch of fish. Do you remember what he said? Yeah, he said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." That's a strange response, isn't it? Jesus has just performed a miracle. Loads and loads of fish. It can only have been God at work here. And he said, "Go away from me. I'm sinful. I'm no good for you." And if you read more of the Gospels, you find that Simon Peter, or just Peter as he became known, he wasn't perfect. He meant well, but he was impulsive. He opened his mouth before engaging his brain. He took charge and spoke for others when perhaps they might have preferred to have spoken for themselves. He jumped to conclusions a bit too quickly. And he seriously let Jesus down at the end. He denied that he even knew Jesus when it came to the crunch. So he wasn't perfect. Anybody feel like that? Yeah, yeah. Yeah, we recognise all these things. He was a human being and, he had his flaws, didn't he? And maybe Peter was painfully aware of the flaws in his character, his weaknesses. Maybe he tried to change his behaviour before and he'd failed. He just didn't feel worthy. Sometimes when we're in the company of really gifted and holy people, we can feel that, not up to the mark. I know I can. I'm sure we all can at times. And Simon knew that he was in the presence of someone really godly. He calls him Lord, and he doesn't feel good enough to be his disciple. But notice Jesus' response. He knew what Simon was thinking. He knew about that. He dealt with that first. He said, "Don't be afraid." Have you noticed how often in the Bible people are told, "Don't be afraid," when they meet with God or God's messenger? Isaiah was, and so was Mary when the angel told her she was going to have a son called Jesus. That's the first thing it said, "Don't be afraid." Because it's quite out of our normal experience to have an experience of God. So first of all, there's reassurance. Don't be afraid. You don't have to run away from my presence. And then there is a vote of confidence. Jesus said, "From now on, you will catch men." Jesus was calling Simon Peter to be a disciple of his, just as he was. Flawed character and all, because he could see his potential and he knew what the power of the Holy Spirit could do in his life. He could change him. And Peter became, as you know, one of the key players in the early church. Jesus said to him one day, "You will be Peter, the rock on which I will build my church." Peter was being called to something new, to step out of his comfort zone of fishing on the Sea of Galilee, to do a different kind of fishing. So do any of us not feel up to being disciples of Jesus or becoming more committed as Christians? Do we feel unable to step out of our comfort zone of what we know we do well and we're confident doing, what we feel safe doing, like those fishermen? Do we worry about stepping out and trying something new? Are we worried we may not be very good at it? And I mean in life or in, as a Christian, our involvement in church. Well, I find the message of the miraculous catch of fish and Jesus' call to Peter just as he was hugely reassuring. Jesus says, "You're fine, just as you are. You'll still be fishing, but in a new way." He'll be fishing for people. That means looking to draw people in to God's kingdom. And the huge catch in the gospel story seems to me to be foretelling the abundance of God's grace in bringing lots and lots of people into God's kingdom, more than any of those first disciples could possibly have imagined. And how did they respond? Do you remember what they did? They pulled their boats up onto the shore, they left everything, and they followed him. Becoming a disciple was costly. They had to leave behind what gave them security, what was of value to them, but from now onwards, their lives would be different. Ben had a new sense of belonging, of being in relationship with Jesus, as they set out on an adventure with him as his disciples, into a new world with a bigger horizon because of who they were with. So I'd like to finish with a question for us. I wonder what new adventure God might be calling you to. Amen.